Have you ever wondered why there's such a fuss around the gospel? Why is it called the good news? Why are Christians so hyped about it? And many more questions around the lines of forgiveness of sins and the gospel, then you are totally in the right place. This is the Jesus Tribe podcast, where we present the gospel in its simplicity and beauty to all who would listen. This current series is all about the gospel and answering any questions you might have around it. Best believe it will take you on an exciting journey to truth. Keep listening.
Hi, everyone. Good day, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whenever you're listening to this. So Faith and I decided to switch roles temporarily. I'm the one giving the intro, but hope everyone is doing well. Faith, how are you doing?
Wow, it's really, I don't know, I was going to say it's quite relieving, but it's a little odd to hear you ask me how I'm doing, because I usually ask you first and give the intros. But hi guys, I'm good.
I hope I did a good job. I forgot to say welcome to the Jesus Tribe podcast, so welcome.
Wow.
To the Jesus Tribe podcast. Yeah.
So as for how you're doing.
Yeah, how are you?
Yeah. The audience would have to guys tell us in the comment section how Daniel did the intro. Let's know. But I'm doing all right. I think I'm fine. I'm just a lot tired these days. I don't know why, but other than that, I'm very good.
You know, I believe you still got COVID. I still believe you got COVID though.
I don't really doubt it now, with the whole Delta strain rumor flying around. I honestly don't even doubt it. Right? Yeah. Well, thank God we're alive.
As thank God for life. All right, no problem. So I'm doing well also. I just moved in, and guys, moving in is not fun. I mean, there's a fun aspect, but there's also a very stressful aspect that I did not anticipate.
I'm pretty sure that you're the only one seeing the fun aspects in this. It's not fun. Moving is not fun.
No, it's fun. Now, the idea of having your own space or your own furniture.
You've always had your own space.
Fair enough. Choosing to design your space however you deem fit. I think that's something that I haven't ever done before. So I think I really like that, actually. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's also very stressful and very expensive. So those two can sometimes
very
eclipse the fun.
Expensive.
Very. No, very. Emphasis on very. Adulting is not beans. Now I know why our parents used to shout when they say don't climb on the chair, or don't do this, or don't do that. Because I remember growing up, we used to like draw on the walls. We would use pens to make scratches the table.
Now?
And I'm like, now that I
can't
imagine...
God, what I would do if I saw a child write on my wall, I would run mad.
I'm like, do you think paint is cheap? Or if I remember I was putting up my chair, and I was up till like 5 a.m. just putting up the chair, because it was a job for two people and I don't have roommates.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I see anyone jump on this chair, it's just give you flashbacks of the night you spent awake. But
like, jump with caution, man.
As a play around, you can play around, but please be careful. Don't write on my table. I'll use it to cut your hand.
I actually can't imagine.
Oh my gosh. Anyways, so back to where we stopped last week. We're currently on the theme forgiveness on sale, 100% off. And that just communicates the idea that there is total forgiveness available at no cost to humanity. And what we're doing all through this series is to pretty much explore what exactly that forgiveness is, how can it be received, why should there be forgiveness in the first place, and more of all those good stuff. Last week in the last podcast, which is still the same as last week, we started off with the topic, all have sinned. All have sinned, and we talked about how the idea of sin in modern day culture is something that really rubs people the wrong way. Like, sin, oh my God, all you religious fanatics have come again. What do you mean by sin? And we talked a bit about what sin meant. which was literally the word harmatano in the Greek, and it means to miss a mark. And then we made the point that if there is a God who is moral, who is just, and who is good, and who created us in his image, therefore meaning we are accountable to those very standards of morality and goodness and justice, then there's a certain mark that he has set for all of humanity. And we talked about the idea that scripture makes a claim that everyone has sinned. And we talked about how if you make such a claim, you better be ready to prove it. If someone runs in the street and says, oh, Daniel, you're a thief. I'm like, okay, I could sue you for defamation because you have to prove that I actually stole something. You can't just walk up to me and claim that I'm something I'm not without any proof. So if the Bible makes a bold, reaching statement that everyone has oh my goodness, I need to go back to school. That everyone has sinned. What then is the proof? What marks has God set for humanity? And that's kind of where we left it. I know you asked me that question, actually, that what marks has God set for humanity? And that is exactly what we'll be covering in today's episode. I hope I did a good recap.
Yes, Daniel, you actually did a very brilliant recap. And maybe it's just kickstarts and launch us right into today's topic. We would start by, you know, reading one of the Bible verses that I believe we also read last week, which is Romans 3:10, that literally, or paraphrasing, says that no one is good. All have sinned and wow. Guys.
Now you see.
I'm taking GMAT classes and I literally just learnt on Monday. Subject verb agreement. I can't believe I'm having a problem with this. Anyways, all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Well, so basically, all have sinned and have fallen short of the mark of God. So, like Daniel said, we're going to start by exploring what these standards are, what this mark is, and all of that. So, yeah, let's probe a bit. If you've been following us on Instagram, which, shameless plug, follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, follow us everywhere so that you will never miss follow any updates. Yeah. So you know that we have gone through a couple of examples where people would say that, oh, my aunt is a very good person. She loves everyone. She gives money to the homeless people. She helps everyone around. Whenever she comes around, she gives me money. She's very nice. Nice to her workers. Nice people at work. Nice to every single person. How can you say that my aunt is a sinner as well? What grounds do you have? Right? And we also, I know Daniel also gave the illustration saying that talking about the Ten Commandments, right? And then when, you know, you would easily read and say, oh, thou shalt, I think it was not honor, thou shalt basically honor God and not put anything above God, right? Paraphrasing Ten Commandments again. And then, you know, when you realize, you're like, ah, yes, God is first, you know, in your bio, you have God first. When everybody talks to you, who are you? I'm a child of God. You know, it's God first. Everything's God first. But then when you even, you know, scale it down daddy's to things girl. As, God's you know, that is God, God's baby girl. When you scale it down to things like, oh, how well do you take care of your body? If you don't even take care of your body well enough, you're not even honoring God in that aspect because now... Hello? If you want to talk to me direct, okay?
Do not cut corners.
Don't cut corners.
Alright.
Yeah, so... You know, even if you can't take care of your body and then, you know, you're falling sick or you're tired all the time, like I just complained about.
Amazing.
You know, if you can't do that, then maybe you're not as honoring in quotes as you think. You're not honoring God as much with your body because really you're not even taking care of yourself, right? So you're not at your best to carry out what God would want you to do the best, because really God, you need your strength to serve God properly, and if you're not going to be alive to do that, then what are you really doing? So things like that. So you take on something like, oh, I'm good. I have this on lockdown. I had this checked. But when you scale it down and you try to think of the meaning, you're like, maybe I'm not so good after all. Maybe I'm not so perfect after all. Maybe I've actually missed the mark at some point and I'm not aware. So it's not just enough to just read out the commandments and be like, oh yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, we move. We're good. Right? You have to really do a heart check, do a soul check and be sure. Right? So, Daniel, do you want to take it from there?
Sure. I appreciate that point you made. I think the best way I can think of to summarize it is that there's a difference between being a good person by virtue of this is who you are. You are a good person versus being a flawed person who does good things. And one of the things we said was that if Hitler, for instance, is a good father, it doesn't mean he's a good person. I mean, he clearly murdered millions, right? And so
the funny thing is that billions are actually very good parents sometimes.
Oh yes, even in the way they are depicted, they do love family. It's ironic. Like, you dare not kill their pets or their they almost always have a daughter. If a male villain almost always has a daughter that he loves more than anything. But so there's a difference between when we read scriptures like this that talks about the standards of God, and all of a sudden you realize, maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was. Yes, I do good things. Yes, every now and then I take my stuff to the poor. I donate my clothes every Christmas. I give money to people. I'm a kind person. If I borrow something, I'm not like those unfortunate people that would never return it. And all of that. But is that all? Is what we're saying. And when you start to read the scriptures and reflect on who God is, you start to see that maybe I'm not as good as I think I am. Maybe there are many times, in fact, maybe more often than not, I've acted out of selfishness. Maybe I've had to So you start to see those claims and you're like, wow, I definitely need to evaluate where I stand on where some of these things are. So a very, very valid point. I think that's
And just to buttress that a bit, I hope I'm not jumping ahead of myself with this. You know, when you mentioned that the fact that you do good things doesn't make you a good person, that can be slightly confusing for a number of people. So let's maybe take an illustration like we always do here at the tribe. Paint a picture. Say you have an orangutan, you know, they are the most similar in terms of, you know, intellect to humans. And, you know, he's properly trained. He knows how to open doors. He eats properly. He does a lot of things the human way, because he's very trained. No matter how well trained he is not a human being. The orangutan is not a human, right? So the fact that he does every single thing that a human can do doesn't make him a human being. So it's a little probably fuzzy to grasp that, oh, I do good things, I'm not a good person. It'll get clearer as we go on, but just to paint that picture in somewhere in your head so that you have an idea of what we're talking about.
So let's I think we started off looking at some of those standards last time. Let's look at even a few more. If you remember what I said last week, Jesus summarized God's standards as love God and love people. See, love, it's all about love. Love is love. I love, and that's all. But so, for instance, in the law, it talks about, don't murder, don't steal, don't lie, don't covet. And you ask yourself, have I murdered anyone before? And you'd be like, no, of course not. How can
Hopefully
you say?
Not.
No. I only watch John Wick. I don't actually kill people. But Jesus comes on the scene and is like, even if you are angry without cause, or you hate a brother of yours, that's as good as murder in the sight of God. And not that God is saying you've killed the person, but in terms of God's standard of love, you have fallen below that standard because you hate a person. It's the same thing with sexual immorality. You don't have to have gotten in the bed with someone outside of marriage or cheated on your girlfriend who say, oh no. He just said, if you just lust at someone, then it's as good as that. And what you start to see is a pattern. What is God being unrealistic? No, Jesus was making a point there that, and it's the same point you made about the orangutan, that it's more than just the actions. God actually judges first from the state of our hearts. And so that's why you can say, oh, even if you do good things, can you actually claim to be good right from the state of your heart? And you can even be like, you could be good most of the time. Let's for the sake of argument agree that, let's say even in your heart, you're a good person most of the time. But what about those times when you're thinking wrong thoughts? What about those times when you've acted out of line? If God is just, then even those bad things ought to be punished, right? It's the same way if you're caught with a speeding ticket. If you're caught speeding and the policeman has to give you a ticket, you don't say, oh, but for the past 10 years, I've never driven above the speed limit. But it's this action that you get. Or if someone kills and you're like, oh no, but I've never killed someone before. Judge, please, I don't need to go to life in prison. I like, that's not how it works, right? So yes, you could even argue that indeed you've thought good thoughts, you've done good things. But what about the bad? What about the wrong thoughts? What about the times many times we've acted out of selfishness or out of pride or out of anger, right? If any of us will agree to the fact that we aren't perfect, then I think it only follows that we should say that we have all sinned. And in the face of a God whom we're accountable to, if he is truly just, then there needs to be consequences, right, or repercussions for our sins. And that's the whole point of this last week and this week.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Daniel, for that. So it gets clearer as we go ahead, and I know that probably you're listening to this and at this point you're wondering, God's a little extra, he doesn't need to go the mile. But I know that, imagine we're at a whiny law court, right, and then someone has done something, and let me, left to you as a regular civilian person, you're like, no, that's a little bit severe, that's a little extra. Well, it's the law, right? You're not going to argue with the Constitution and say, objection, my lord, I don't think that, you know, that judgment is just, there's a law that has to be followed, right? And then the law wasn't just made up from someone's feelings or bias. It's a just book, right? So I think the point I'm just trying to make here is what Daniel has already said as well. God is a just God. If you do wrong things, there has to be some form of consequence for your action. Because, so think about it this way: in your defense, you did something wrong, one off, but those consequences also have negative impacts on other people. So to you, it's unfair, but to others, it's just. So there has to be some form of balance, right? There has to be some form of balance, and we're going to find out in our next podcast, right?
Yeah, I think just to offer concluding thoughts, I don't want to be insensitive to say, oh yes, you've done evil, you'll be punished. Because we all, if the Bible is true, which we hope we've been able to make a case for, that we all have actually sinned, then that means that we all stand before God guilty of sin. And like you said, rightly so, that to be in a modern day court of law, we as moral creatures will be very upset. We made that reference when, George Floyd, I can't remember the name of the policeman, was tried to court. And when he was finally convicted of the crime, everyone was celebrating, right? Because justice had won. We all, as moral creatures, celebrate justice instinctively. All we're saying is that there is a bigger law court out there, not set up by humans. It's the court of God. Yeah. And in that court, we all have been found guilty. And if truly justice is a good thing, then we deserve the punishment that comes as a result of our charge. What we are now moving on to say is that the story doesn't stop there. God is not only just, God is also love. And God doesn't want anyone to suffer for the consequences of their sins. But the same way a judge can't just say, he's making those puppy dog faces, he's really sorry, let's let him go. It's the same way God can't just say, but she really feels bad about what she's done, let me let her go, because that will be unjust. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. But then, of course, there's still a lot to now say, okay, but must it be hell? And why is it eternity? We're going to talk about that in more episodes. I met someone recently, last week actually. She says she doesn't believe in God. And we asked her why. She said that because the idea of God, at least from a Christian perspective, is evil. That how would God send people to hell? That for her, it's unnecessary, it's extreme, it's not commensurate with the punishment, with the crime. We're going to look at that. And I'm sure a lot of people, even Christians, even I myself, have wondered sometimes that why an eternity of suffering? Why not just cause them to stop existing? Why not do something temporary? But we're going to look at that. Is hell really just? Can I believe in a God that sends, in quote, does God actually send people to hell? And these are painful topics. Remember, I'm not saying this and say, hell, if you've sinned, you've no. Hell is not, the idea of hell and sin, these are not trivial topics, right? And so we're going to look at that more in the next couple of weeks.
Yes, we absolutely are. Thank you for sticking with us to the end of this podcast. We would see you next week. Have an amazing week ahead. Bye.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Tribe podcast. We are an organization aimed at presenting the gospel of Christ in its simplicity to everyone everywhere. If this podcast has stirred up any questions, please feel free to mail us at tribejesus@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram or Facebook @JesusTribe to stay up to date with our other activities and content. Till next time.